And welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. David Janes here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Doing all right. Still enjoying the replay of that Parsonen goal.
My goodness.
What's up with that dude?
The goal last night by Juuso Parsonen to win things in overtime for the Preds. David, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. You know, just got my Grizz jersey on. Grizz, like always.
You feel good? You feel good about this matchup?
I do. Honestly, okay. It's going to be a tough one, obviously, just because the Lakers, they get their – LeBron will get his calls. But I think that this team is still good enough to win the game just because of Jaren, Desmond Bane, and Ja Morant.
There you go.
Already ready for the refs to be cheating for LeBron.
Of course. Hey.
Already.
Listen, it's a Memphis staple. We say the refs suck all the time. It's just how it is.
Yeah. It's not confined to Memphis.
I know. But.
Looking forward to that coming up this weekend as well. We'll get into that a little bit later here in the program. Preds win last night. Juuso Parsonen with the game winner in overtime. If you have not seen that goal, as Joe mentioned, go check it out because it's a pretty one. You'll want to go watch it. It was number 2 on the SportsCenter top 10. So what a goal from Juuso Parsonen last night between the legs for the game winner in overtime. It was a impressive display of losing someone in coverage by the Minnesota Wild, but they left him wide open. Ryan McDonough with a nice pass and between the legs from Juuso Parsonen. And I said this a few weeks ago. It's good that he's back in the lineup now, but like he's one of those guys that while all these injuries were taking place, of which he was a part of, and, you know, the trade deadline, shipping some guys off. I would have liked to have seen what he could have done over the last few weeks because that dude has got some ability to him, and he put it on full display last night.
Yeah. I mean, if he's going to do that stuff, that's like Forsberg against the Avs in 2018 type stuff. I mean, it was like a breakaway and he had all this time. I mean, it was 3-on-3, like you said. He got loose. He was all alone. But, I mean, it was bang, bang, and he just somehow made the decision to do that. I don't know why, but it was awesome.
I think the best part was the shoulder shrug after. He's like, yeah, put it in there. Game over. See you later.
Then he talked a lot of trash afterwards. No, he really didn't.
Totally running his mouth after. Yeah, we need more of that in hockey. Just everybody needs to just – I keep waiting for somebody to score and just, like, slide by the opposing bench just looking up at them like this, but it never happens.
Someday. We'll get there someday.
We'll see what happens on that front. Obviously the game itself doesn't mean anything for the Preds last night, and they'll close things down tonight against Colorado. By the way, that one does mean something tonight for Colorado. They're playing for the division tonight. So Dallas is at 108 points. They're 1 point ahead of Colorado. Colorado needs to have this one tonight against the Predators, so – a meaningful game for the Avalanche tonight. We'll see what happens with the Preds and how they approach it and if they can put together another good effort after the one they had last night. But it got me thinking about yesterday. I'm watching this game, and I was thinking about next season, obviously, and what the lineup is going to look like. And, you know, I went down some rabbit hole with the roster last night, and hopefully I don't think I've left anybody out, but I put together a 23-man opening night roster for the Predators based on the lineup currently as is. Are you ready for it?
No, hold on. I want to write this down.
Okay.
I want this to be documented in case you're right or in case you're really
just
wrong.
Just incredibly off?
Either way.
Well, before I get to the lineup, for starters, like I did not include Zach Sanford or Michael McCarron or Kiefer Sherwood as all those guys are free agents coming up. So I have no idea whether or not they're going to be on the team. So those guys are unrestricted free agents coming up, so did not include those guys. But are you ready for my opening night lineup?
I'm ready.
All right, line one for next year. Philip Forsberg, Cody Glass, Matt Duchene. Forsberg, Cody Glass, Matt Duchene, my line one for next year. Line number two, this is where I had to get a little creative. Juuso Parsonen, Tommy Novak, Luke Evangelista. It's line number two for the Predators.
Okay.
Line number three, Yakov Trenin, Ryan Johansson, Philip Tomasino. That is line number three for the Predators next year. Line number four, Mark Jankowski, Colton Sissons, and the people's favorite, Cole Smith on line four
next year.
On D.
I was going to say, if you don't have him in there, we're going to have a problem.
Problematic lineup. On D, I have Roman Josi, and Alex Carrier playing together. I have Ryan McDonough and Tyson Berry playing together. I have Jeremy Lauzon and Dante Fabro playing together. And then I have Saros and Lankinen in goal. Extra forward is Rasmus Asplund, who they acquired from Buffalo, who's still on the team. And then two extra defensemen, Calfoot and Jake Livingstone.
Okay. That one. Yeah. I mean, I think that makes sense. That's one thing, you know, like with Parson, and as I've wondered, is like, is he better down the middle or not, you know?
Probably is.
Yeah, but in your lineup, you take him out of there.
Eventually, I mean, can't take Novak out.
Yeah, no.
If Johansson's going to be on the team, he's going to have to play at center somewhere.
And that's the thing, you know, I mean, that third line, that's intriguing to me. Johansson, Tomasino, Trenin.
Yeah.
I don't hate that.
I mean,
I don't hate that lineup.
Look, there's a good chance. Oh, I mean, the lineup will not be that. I'm pretty confident. Well, they're going to go do something.
There's going to be somebody we don't know, yeah.
Right, but, I mean, there's a chance that, you know, maybe a Johansson or somebody else could be on the way out. Like, that's as tonight comes and goes and they finish things off here against Colorado and you move ahead to the John Hines conversation, which we'll get back into here in just a few minutes. But, you know, the Barry Trotz part of this, you know, how many guys that are currently on the team are you still looking to move out if you're Barry Trotz? And can you move anybody out? Is there any appetite for a buyout from the Predators? You know, are you willing to retain any salary in a trade if you could force one of those things to happen? I mean, are there other veteran guys that you want to move on from? Like, I'd be interested to see what his approach is there. But, you know, that's kind of my first crack at people that I know as of this moment are under contract for next year. That's kind of the first crack at the line up there.
It's not, and you know, it's not a. I mean, it's one of those things where you look at everything, and again, things have to break your way. Like, is Evangelista ready for an 82-game season? I mean, and even Novak. I mean, no, you know, that's a question for him too, but a little bit more for like Evangelista,
yep.
Right? I mean, I like Parson, and I'm not just saying that, you know, as a prisoner of the moment. By the way, what was number one? What was the number one play?
Some bicycle kick in a soccer game somewhere.
Okay. They love soccer.
They love
and
soccer.
And baseball.
Yep.
But what if Duchesne is good next year? I mean, yeah, is Glass ready to be a number one center? I mean, there's a lot of things here that, like, they're not all going to break their way.
Yep.
But some could. And if you look at that lineup and you consider who's in goal, I mean, it could be a competitive team.
It could be. The defense part of it is interesting, too, because, like, I like – the addition of Livingstone. We talked to David Poile about that the other day. You know, basically kind of just fell in their lap after his college season, and he was really good in college. And so far, like, I've been relatively impressed with what he's done. I like Spencer Stastny. Like, I think he's played pretty well too. So, you know, it's a very small sample size with those two in particular. I have no idea whether or not they're going to be ready for a full NHL season next year. But maybe some depth there that you weren't counting on before. And then there's the, you know, the Fabro part of this as well. I mean, David Poile told us earlier this week, did not have the year that they were hoping he would have, and you got another opportunity next year. I think they're going to re-sign Carrier. Like, he's a restricted free agent. I'm assuming that he's going to be back, but maybe he won't be. Like, maybe that's a decision. I don't know.
Maybe he'll demand that they call him Carrier, not Carrier.
Well, maybe
that's
that.
Part of the terms of, you know, re-signing here. Yeah, I would think
Carrier. For a lot of them.
Well, by the way, it is Livingstone.
Yeah.
David said Livingston the other day, didn't he? I think he did. I'm just saying. We need to work on these things, people. But, I mean, Fabro, well, interesting. What was the little tidbit we were talking about yesterday in our little text thread? Possibly, what, Poile on a podcast talked about, you know, one more move that he was going to make, which could be Fabro.
Could be. I mean, it could be Johansson, too.
Could be Johansson.
I mean, my first reaction, so it was from the Frankly Speaking podcast, which is part of Daily Faceoff, I believe. I assume with Frank Saravalli, but that's just my guess. I've never listened to the podcast. But there is the article that Michelle sent us yesterday from Daily Faceoff. It says, quote, Poile said on a recent edition of Frankly Speaking that he had 5 goals for the deadline written on a piece of paper. He made 4 of them happen. What about the 5th? Quote, I can't tell you that because the player is still here. This is from David Poile, which is, number one, an awesome line. But, yeah, like, Fabro is the first
one. Probably one of those two.
Probably
right?
One of those two, be my guess. Like, to me, Like, I think you had to know. Like, I don't but know.
Yeah, how could your goal be Johansson?
That's the thing. Like, right? If you're David Poile, like, is Johansson really even worth writing down on a piece of paper? Because he knew that there's no way that he's going to get traded.
I mean, I'd like a pony for my birthday, you know? Come on.
Exactly. So, Favreau was the guy that came to mind. I mean, people forget. Jeff Merrick, who friend of the show, reported, like, the week before the trade deadline that, Dante Fabro's probably going to get moved. And I think San Jose was the team that he pointed out as that had shown some interest. And obviously it didn't happen. And not only did he not get moved, he got a contract extension the day of the deadline for 1 year. So I don't know what went down there. My guess, kind of reading between the lines, is maybe they looked around and didn't like what they saw in return and said, you know what, 1 year deal, we'll try it again next year, see if it can get a little better. That's just my guess, but I don't know.
And I saw Barry Trotz on with Joe. I didn't get the whole interview, but what I heard was very interesting. And it's one thing that Barry Trotz talked about on Jared's show yesterday was Fabro's improvement this year from him watching him kind of from afar early in the season and then how he's playing now. So I've heard stuff like that before, but maybe he's turned a little bit of a corner.
Yeah. JC on Twitter says Parsonen will be a stud for the Preds. That's from JC on Twitter. I like the ability. I like the size.
I do too. I like the demeanor too. He just has a little bit of, you know, I don't like the post game quotes. We got to work on those. But, you know, like, you need to be talking trash after you score a goal like that, Yuso.
Yep. No question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I said yesterday, if I had to guess right now, John Hines is probably back as coach of the Preds next year. I don't know that. That's just me speculating, but that's my guess, is that he's back next year. If he is, what will the reaction of the Predators fan base be? We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on the Nashville Predators. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, Robbie, Joe, got a couple of questions for y'all today. How y'all doing?
We're good, Mark.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, first of all, Robbie, you were saying that you think John Hines will be back, but do you kind of think that Trotz may kind of pull a fast one and go with him pulling both job duties as a GM and a coach, and maybe he coach him for a year and maybe get him put into a system that he likes him to be in versus what Hines is in? Do you think he could maybe go with that?
I would be pretty surprised if that happened. I just think the jobs, there's too much involved in both jobs to do both at the same time in today's league. I mean, we've seen people do that before. I think Lou Lamoriello came down from being a GM and was the coach for a time, you know, 20, 25 years ago. But I just think in today's game, you can't really do that anymore.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, got a big question for you. Really big question.
Uh-oh.
The other day, I'm going to quote Denny Green with you on this. You know Steelman is what you thought he was, but you let him off the hook, man. And you kind of let this man off the hook. And you know, Joe, he texted me the other day when I said, tough luck, Joe. He said it wasn't even close. That infuriated me,
Joe. I saw it.
Yeah, I took that personal. You know what, Joe? You can't let Steelman off the hook because, you know, he wants to beat you down every time. He wants to be a million to nothing against you every time. We know this. You got to start getting that same process. Joe, you really didn't lose that debate. I mean, what Caroline kind of based it on was because I think I caught the last question was about if the Predators were going to make the playoffs, and I think you were kind of in between on it, and he kind of said, well, yeah, they'll make it, and boom, he wins. But I wanted to throw this out here today on Friday, April. I wanted to let Steelman, I know he's listening. He's probably at home drinking some coffee, eating his Cap'n Crunch and all this and that. But I want to address Steelman and say, hey, Joe, I wish you could set it up to where I can debate Steelman.
I want to
debate him. I want to debate him myself because I know I could beat him. I know I could beat him.
Oh, I agree.
But Joe, you got to let up off of. You can't let up off on him anymore, Joe. You know that. It wasn't too close. He's got that. He got that arrogance about him. See, I like arrogant people because the way to beat them and catch their weakness, you beat them, man. You beat them down, Joe. That's what you got to do with Steelman, man. You can't let him off the hook anymore. I heard you on the phone the other day. I mean, on the radio, said, "Well, maybe, you know, I'll let him win." No, Joe, never let him win.
All right,
Mark. Thank you for the call.
Never let him win, Joe.
Hope you have a great weekend, Mark.
Good weekend and stuff. I'll talk to y'all on Monday.
Sounds good, Mark.
All right, see you later, man.
I'm 100% with Mark.
Never again.
No mercy.
No mercy. How many Baskin-Robbins jokes can I get today while we have Jared on the phone?
We're going to find out.
31, maybe?
In about 40 minutes. We'll find out. Jared Steelman joined the program at 7 o'clock today. Looking forward to that. And Mark coming in hot this morning. Enjoyed that, too.
That was pretty funny. Jared said, not even close.
Not even close.
I responded on that, too. I responded on that on the text line. I think I said Jared's never beaten anybody older than 4 years old in a sports debate in reality.
As always, we appreciate Mark for calling in.
Thank you, Mark.
So
it's tough, man.
Like I said, yesterday we had the John Hines discussion as to what has the back part of this season meant for him in terms of keeping his job. He's got 1 year left on the contract. Tonight's the final game of the regular season, so the evaluation period – if you're Barry Trotz, in terms of watching him on the ice and what his game plans and all those things look like, it's at an end now. So you've seen it if you're Barry Trotz. You've been around it. What does it all mean for him? I think you and I both agree that if we had to guess, he's probably back next year would be my guess. So let's just say that he is. Let's say that Barry Trotz makes the decision to let John Hines – play out the final year of the contract. And I say play out, he's coaching out. The final year of the contract next year. What's the reaction of the Predators fan base if that's the move? And how different do you think that reaction would be now as compared to maybe back at the trade deadline if we were having the same discussion about John Hines?
That's a good question. I think it would definitely be different. I think like you said yesterday, I think a lot of people thought the same way you did. I was thinking the same thing. Okay, well, this is probably it for Hines. You know, clean slate, new GM, new coach, all that. So then they play well down the stretch. You know, it's interesting because Trotz didn't get a chance to evaluate. Some of the guys we're talking about, a lot of people in the text line right now, we're talking about get rid of Johansson. And I mean, I understand the sentiment. I mean, he didn't get the chance to see a lot of these, you know, veteran, like him in particular, and Duchesne too much down the stretch because of injuries. But he did get to see John Hines and this team do more than you would have expected them to do. I don't have a great feel to answer your question. I mean, there are going to be people who are going to be – like April is going to immediately angrily text in the text line, Hines, and some other people too. But sometimes it's really hard to gauge what the consensus is. I mean, I know Preds fans who don't really blame him, which is kind of along the lines of what I've been thinking. I mean, again, I think that so far John Hines in his tenure as an NHL coach has not had a great team to coach. He has not had a contender-level team to coach. So you can point to, like, what's he done? What has he ever achieved? And it's fair, but also I don't think he's had – like, someone yesterday was like, well, look at New Jersey after he left. Like, well, that's not the same team. I mean, Taylor Hall had a great season when he was coaching them. There's been a lot of good young players who have come on the scene there. That's a totally different team, right?
Right.
So it's one of those things where, I mean, at some point you do have to, I think, prove yourself as a coach and like have achievement in the league for people to want to keep you around. But I think you could still excuse a lot of that with him so far, and I don't think it's the end of the world if he coaches next year.
I don't think so either. Now, I do think, I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily going to be an excited reaction from the fan base if he's like, yep, he's coming back next year. Like, you know, he's reached the point now where, I mean, he's got to prove something. Now, the one thing that is different is the younger guys have come in and they have played well and the team decided to sell. Like, they've gone in a different direction. And I think the fan base has responded to that. There's a little bit more energy with the fan base. I think a little bit more excitement about the direction of the team and all of those things than this time 3-4 months ago when you were just thinking, oh, my gosh, like, you got Mykal Granlund on a long-term deal, Johansson, Duchesne, all these guys, all these veteran players, and you're stuck. And then Ronnie Hextall somehow took that Granlund contract that I think I'm going to bring up every day from here on out. And then the Pittsburgh Penguins didn't make the playoffs, which just makes it even better. But the point is the trajectory of the team is different, and I do think that some, and I've noticed some, that have been totally out on Hines that have reevaluated just based on the way the young players have played lately. Now some have not reevaluated, and they want John Hines gone, and they want Barry Trotz to go hire a different coach. I mean, Logan on the text line, for his reaction, if John Hines comes back next year, quote, I would claw my eyes out. Let's try not to do that.
Yeah. But at first he said I would clay my eyes out, which really sounds awful.
Yes.
Not that clawing doesn't.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in David. David, thanks for calling in. Good morning.
Hey, I think John Hines is going to be back next year. But with all these draft picks we've got now, you know, Hines is going to want to pick players that fits his system. So it would probably be a good idea to get a new coach if you want a different system with all these new players coming in.
Hey, thanks for the call, David. I mean,
the system talk is always interesting to me.
Well, the system is interesting. Now, another thing to keep in mind, like, first off, Barry Trotz and David Poile are going to be the ones drafting, you know, along with, you know, Jeff Kelty and Scott Nickel and all the scouting department they have. Like, John Hines, I'm not saying he doesn't have a say in the draft process, but at the end of the day, it's not his decision who they draft. The other part of that is, like, it's different than the NFL. Like, you're not drafting for a system if you're an NHL team because, you know, if you draft somebody you really like in the second round, it may be 3 years before you ever see him. Like, you're not drafting for a system in the NHL. You're drafting the player and what you think they could be.
I need someone to tell me, and I know that there are teams that play different ways, but I need someone to tell me the two spectrum, the one end of this spectrum, the other end of the spectrum in the NHL of system.
Right.
Because I would tell you that there's not that big of a difference. There are different ways to do things, different types of coverages,
yep.
and things like that. But even within that, coaches tweak that at times and change it up. I mean,
First off,
if you're a great hockey player, then we'll see that in the NHL.
We've talked about this before. Like, hockey is a lot of hockey is reading and reacting. Now, systems are important, and everybody's got a system in place. Your structure in the neutral zone of how you're defending coming through there. On the power play, you know, what formation are you running? Do you have positions? Are you positionless and you just kind of float? I mean, there's a lot of different nuances to it, and I'm not saying that every team's the same, but I do think that gets way overblown a lot of times, way overblown.
Like Hines has some system. Again, I go back to Laviolette getting fired. Man, what's the guy's – is it Blake McCurdy or whatever? You know the
Yeah.
Sent me so many blobs.
Yeah.
Like, here, look at these blobs. This proves to you that Peter Laviolette doesn't know anything about hockey. I'm like, I just see blue blobs. What are we talking about here? That's just
– God bless analytics.
Yeah, I just I think system is definitely overblown. I think that some of the Hines thing – you know what? I think some of what Hines or why some people are down on Hines relates to a call we had yesterday.
We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. If John Hines remains as head coach of the Predators, what would your reaction be? 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Speaking of the Predators, season tickets for the Preds 2023-24 season are on sale now. Preds will be celebrating their 25th anniversary throughout the next season. Full half and quarter season plans are available, and you could join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations at the best pricing, up to 50% off discounts on concessions throughout the whole season, and up to 6 bonus tickets to select games in the 2023-24 season as well, plus priority access to the 2023 NHL Draft and awards, both of which are hosted in Nashville coming up here in just a few months. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Make sure you don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can join Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders as they broadcast live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer on Thursday April 27th. Looking forward to that. Less than 2 weeks away from the first round of the NFL draft. So, Joe, we're getting there.
Finally.
Almost there. Making it there. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. What will your reaction be if the Predators decide to retain John Hynes as head coach? And, Joe, you brought up a text that we got yesterday that has been an interesting point on this topic. What we got?
Well, actually, a call from Adam who kind of pointed to Hynes, like Hynes's demeanor behind the bench, very stoic.
Yep.
Yeah, in general, press conference, very even keel, very low key, right? I think some people, and again, like whatever. Now, whatever your demeanor is, your personality is, if you win, people will like it, and if you don't win enough, people will find a reason. But I do think that. If you and also you compare him to the last guy who on the bench could be very, very fiery at times.
He could.
You know, and pump his I love you like and all, you know.
Although we did get a real nice fist pump from John Hynes after the Calgary game.
You're right. No, you're
just saying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, here and there. Yeah, you see it. But yeah, like not a ton of emotion from him. So some people it rubs them the wrong way. But again, rubs them the wrong way because they're not getting the results. Stephanie says, who are you going to get to replace Hynes? Everyone wants him gone, but who do you get to replace him? And I said, look, again, like if Trotz has had an idea of that, okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
If not, then that's why I think we're both kind of the mind that Hynes coaching out his final year makes sense. You're in this transitional period. We don't know what the team will look like. Like, you know, the lineup you made out looks okay. I mean, I could see it being a decent lineup, but, you know, I still think it's an evaluate within that lineup. There's a lot of questions of guys. Can you what are you doing in an 82 game NHL season right now?
For sure,
at your age and all that stuff. So, and there's definitely a lot of like hire Carl Taylor. I get that, but Stephanie also says, yeah, exactly. Hypotheticals like this is one of the reasons I avoid Twitter. Between Preds Twitter and Facebook fan pages, my head's about to explode with the lunacy surrounding this topic. So basically. Yeah, so it sounds like there's a lot of Carl Taylor, which we're getting.
Oh,
we
get
every day.
We get every day.
And then you have a little Joel Quenneville in there, too. Oh, so, God. Man, can we come up with a third name? Anybody?
We got to stop with the Joel Quenneville stuff, guys. It's not happening.
Yeah, yeah. Drop the Quenneville. Is there? I'm trying to think. There's always a recyclable coach out there. You know, there's always some recyclable NHL coaches out there.
Go get Bruce Boudreaux.
There you go. See? That. Thank you. You just did it. That's the name.
There's the third one. James on the text line says, Johansson, it's time to go. Condition of Hynes' continued tenure, the power play must drastically improve. A top 10 power play and we're playoff bound. Tyson Barrie helps a great deal in this area. This is from James on the text line. That's the thing. I mean, they had the top 10 power play the whole year last year. They made the playoffs and power play at times was a struggle this year and they're not in the playoffs. It's not as simple as just that, but I agree. Like you gotta fix it. As you move forward. You
know, like, how is that a condition for Hynes?
Well, that's the thing. Like, how do you know that right now? Like, you know, as long as the power play is in the top 12,
John,
you can be the coach.
I know that this year you stopped working on the power play. Yeah, you need to work on it again next year. You need to care about it next year, please, John. I mean, obviously. I mean, if they had a great power play under John Hynes, what does that mean? Is that credit to him?
I mean, I would think so.
If they have a bad power play under John Hynes, is that blame to him? Yeah, I think so, too, but – how can you – I mean, obviously, it's a very – the power play is a very delicate – it's like – it's almost like, the Irish pudding that we make for Christmas,
yeah.
You know? It's like it's like the souffle. Like, if you mess anything up at all, it just goes – but if it magically works, you know, it all just comes together. It's just – it's stuff that's hard to put your finger on sometimes.
Ryan in Nashville on the text line says, I would be irritated if they kept Hynes – knowing that Carl Taylor would probably be going to another team like Dean Evason did. Also, my jersey would just be updated to Fire Hynes number 24. This is from Ryan in Nashville on the text line. Look, that's the other thing that I feel like I need to address here. Like, I think there's this idea that it's just like a foregone conclusion that at some point this offseason, Carl Taylor's getting hired as a head coach somewhere. And I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I like Carl Taylor. I think Carl Taylor is a good coach, and I think Carl Taylor probably will be a head coach in the NHL one day. All those things are true. Like, I don't think that there's, like, some immediate ticking clock on him that he's just automatically going to get a head coaching job this offseason. Number one, you just brought it up. You know how hard it is to get a head coaching job in this league because they keep hiring the same people over and over and over again? Exactly. Like, it's hard to do in this league. And there are other really good young coaches out there, too. It's not just Carl Taylor. So, like I said, I like Carl Taylor. I really do. I think he's a good coach. I think one day he'll probably be an NHL head coach. I don't know that I buy that he's just automatically getting a job somewhere else this offseason.
Yeah.
I say young coach. He's 51. So, I mean,
well, that's young, man.
I'm just saying.
That's young. Come on. Yeah. When I'm trying to think, what's the coaching cycle looking like this year? I mean, are there people who are going to lose their jobs here right as things end? Who are we looking at?
There's a former National Predators coach that I think might lose his job here at the very end, Peter Laviolette.
There's one.
Now, you know, maybe he won't, but I would be surprised if he doesn't.
There'll probably be at least two or three.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. For sure.
So I'm going to watch carefully and see as soon as those initial lists come out, if any of them put Carl Taylor on it. Now, again, these are media lists, but they are, you know, a lot of times generated, you know, with reporting.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, Carl Taylor, it's also, I think he deserves a lot of credit, right? But it's funny to me that some people want to give him all the, like, now this is Carl Taylor, and these guys were in Milwaukee, okay? So if they do well here, does that have anything to do with the coaches here or no?
I mean, you would think it would.
Again, I understand the Tolvanen discussion, letting him go and all that stuff, and I still think over time, like, he's going to be a decent player for Seattle, but I don't think he's setting the world on fire in Seattle. But still, I get it. Like, that's fair. I mean, that's a fair criticism. They did not figure out a way to unlock his talents.
Yes.
But there are other players that they have.
Right. You know, it's a complicated discussion. Because, I'm with the people that say, like, how long is John Hines going to get the benefit of the doubt of the roster, right? Like, you know, at some point, you've got to prove that you can take a team and that you could do something and that you can overachieve and that you can get in the playoffs and you can make some noise. Like, that's got to happen at some point.
But does 2 years ago count at all?
I mean, yes, but they lost in six games in the first round, right? Like,
like, I would say they overachieved in that series against that team. Like,
I would agree.
They didn't win, so I mean, you don't win, you don't win. So,
right.
I get it, but I think they performed well.
I would agree, but that's not what – I mean, that's not ever going to get it done in NHL coaching. Like, you gotta win, and that's what it is. So I understand the thought process of go find somebody else. Like, you're in a transition period with your franchise – go find somebody else to kind of lead the next wave here. And look, maybe that's what the Predators do. I just have the feeling that they're bringing John Hines back. I don't know that, but that's the feeling that I have. But maybe Barry Trotz feels differently about it. Maybe he does have somebody in mind, or maybe he doesn't, and he just feels like they need a new voice or a new direction or whatever it is. I have no clue what his evaluation of John Hines has been. But I do think that, for whatever reason, with a lot of the fan base, John Hines reached the point where whatever good happened here, it was somebody else's credit, and whatever bad happened here, it was his fault.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't think that part of it is fair.
Yeah, like, there's just people that are just out on him, and so if you're out on him, you're gonna spin everything. You're gonna spin everything against him. So, and look, like I said, I'm with you. Like, at some point, you know, you have to achieve. Here's the thing. If John Hines keeps the job for one more year, I think the one thing I would definitely shout down right now is the idea that, like, somehow this is going to, you know, screw them up long term or something. Again, talking like system or like player lack of development. If Luke Evangelista is going to be a great player, or if he's not, or whatever he's going to be, like, John Hines being his head coach next year is not going to be like some issue for him. Okay.
No.
So, if it's one more year, play out the contract, transition, and then decide, okay, there's got to be a better coach out there who can take this team to the next level, I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, look, we've talked about the Carl Taylor thing. Maybe Barry Trotz looks around and says, I really like Carl Taylor. Maybe they could. I don't know. I have no idea what Barry Trotz thinks about Carl Taylor. I'm just saying, like, the obvious pointing to him as if he's just going to be snatched up by somebody else and it's automatic that that's going to happen, I don't really understand. Maybe it does. Like, I'm not saying he can't get hired away and that nobody would want him to be their head coach. Maybe somebody does. But, like, there's this idea out there that, oh, the Predators have to do something with him or they're going to lose him. And I don't know that I buy that.
But, hey, I ripped on a lot of you who said John Robinson should be fired last year. So what do I know?
We ripped on a lot of you the day that John Robinson got fired. Said he wasn't going to get fired.
And then he did.
And then he did. So
how about that?
615-737-1025.
Carl Taylor, next Preds head coach, everybody.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your bold predictions. You can have a Preds flavor to it, NFL draft, Nashville SC, whatever you want to do, it's on the table for Call Your Shot Friday. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the day, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, let's see here. I know we've been having some long-term shots, so every week, you know, we got to go back at some point, especially like draft week. And
tally them up.
Yeah, tally them up. But I had a shootout win for the Preds at Winnipeg with Yakov Trenin getting the decisive goal. Did not happen. I did say that the Preds will lose out this week on the playoffs, so I'm right there.
Way to go.
I also said, thank you. I also said the Golden State Warriors are winning it all.
You did say that.
So we'll see about that. I said Vanderbilt baseball will match the Vols for the best start in SEC history at 12-0. They did not. And then that they would exceed it against South Carolina, which starts today, but that did not happen. They won 2 of 3 from Missouri, but lost one.
Yep.
Michelle, Preds. Okay, she says Preds. Why do I type poorly when Michelle talks? I don't know. I guess she's saying they were going to win all four, and Saros will have 2 shutouts in the
four. I believe that is exactly what she said, yes.
Yeah, so did not happen. Preds get in the playoffs and beat Vegas in the first round. All 5 of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL draft go in the top 15. See, there's one we got to remember.
Okay.
And then Hunter Dickinson will go to Kentucky. Now, that's an interesting one. Maryland is making a real push. Of course, he's from Maryland. So Maryland is making a run at Hunter Dickinson. So
there you go.
We'll see. But they still, Kentucky could still get him. You had Scottie Scheffler winning in a playoff with Brooks Koepka in Augusta.
Nope, did not happen.
Hendon Hooker drafted by the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. You had the Preds beating Winnipeg and Calgary to set up a huge week at home on WHMR.
Yes.
And you had a 2-1 win specifically at Winnipeg. And you also had Trenin with the goal scorer and then Tomasino. So we had a lot of Trenin shots last week. So,
didn't work.
You go. Yeah.
Did not work. All right, let's get rolling this week. David James, do you have any called shots this week?
Yeah, of course, you know, as a as the Memphis fan here in Nashville Sports Radio, I will call my. I have 2 shots.
Okay.
One, Jaren Jackson Jr. will have a career game. He'll score 45 points.
Whoa!
Sunday.
Woo!
45. I like that.
And the Grizzlies will win in 6.
Okay.
Grizzlies beat the Lakers in 6. Okay.
Right. I like that. 45 from Jaren Jackson.
That would be. He's hitting some threes.
He can.
Oh, yeah. No, he can go off, man.
There we go. Any more call shots?
Jaren Jackson fan.
The Titans will draft Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Okay. Jackson Smith and Jigba. There we go.
JSN. All right.
Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week.
Okay. I'm going to start with a guest called shot because I missed his texts. I missed his texts during our last segment. So here we go. This is a guest called shot from Adam Vingan. The called shot is... the next Preds coach this offseason is Spencer Carberry.
Okay.
Spencer Carberry, assistant coach in Toronto.
Yep.
He was in the minors. He was the coach of the Capitals AHL team when Trotz was the Capitals coach. He has been the ECHL coach of the year. He has been the AHL coach of the year. He's young. Vingan thinks he's in his early 40s.
He's 41.
But basically, he would be like kind of that up-and-coming young coach like Barry was when he was hired here long ago by David Poile. So there you go. Spencer Carberry's Adam Vingan's called shot to be.
I like it. I guess Preds. Called shot.
That's a heck of a called shot by Adam Vingan. And then mine are all boring by comparison. Andrew Wiggins, double-double in game 1. Okay. For the Dubs,
I like
coming
that.
Back. The Devil Rays will break the MLB record today by getting to 14-0, and they will get it all the way to 17-0. Right now they're tied with the Braves, 82 Braves, 87 Brewers at 13-0. And the Bruins, I may have said something like this before, but whatever. I'll say it again. The Bruins will not make the conference finals.
Okay. The Bruins will not make the conference finals after winning 65 games in the regular season and 135 points.
I mean, it's almost not a shot because, like, we all know it's coming, right?
Oh, man. It's going to be funny. All right, my called shots. The Edmonton Oilers are winning the Stanley Cup. The Edmonton Oilers are winning the Stanley Cup. I know there's Colorado. I know that there's Boston in the East. I know there's a lot of teams in the East. I like it. I like Edmonton. I think they built their team well. Their goaltending sucks. I realize that. I think they figured out a way to defend well enough where when Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are putting up 4 points a night, they'll be fine. So I'm going Edmonton winning the Stanley Cup.
The Eckholmton Oilers. Yes. How about that?
I do wonder how many Predators fans are rooting for them.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should root for the Oilers. I'm rooting for them.
I think you should too.
That'd be a blast.
Jalen Hyatt will be drafted by the New York Football Giants. Jalen Hyatt drafted by the New York Football Giants. And by the time we do Call Your Shot Friday next week, Joe Rexroad, the Aaron Rodgers trade to the New York Jets will be complete. He will be a New York Jet by this time next week that we do Call Your Shot Friday.
Is that a shot?
Which is feeling?
I guess that's a shot because it feels.
Some people feeling like it's not going to happen at all.
That would be amazing. Now that's the shot.
That's the shot.
But
I'm not quite willing to go there.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be good. That'd be good to get that done. Then Titans fans don't have to worry that Ryan Tannehill's off to New York.
Yes. Matt from DC on the text line says, "His called shot. The Titans will be drafted and trade back to in the early 20s." And collect more picks this year and a second round next year. So I guess saying trading back in the first round to take an offensive tackle a little bit later in the first round, which would be, I think, underwhelming for some Titans fans. But it could happen. We'll see. Trading back to go get a tackle at that point. Johnny on Twitter calling the first round upset in the Stanley Cup playoffs of the New York Islanders taking down the Carolina Hurricanes in the first round. So that matchup.
I like it, man.
It's Carolina, New York, and it's Boston taking on Florida in the first round.
Like you said, I mean, Carolina, that was your your champion pick this year?
It was.
But Svechnikov's
out. Yeah, it's a big deal.
That's a total game changer in a bad way.
I think that they'll probably take care of the Islanders. But that's why it's Call Your Shot Friday.
That's right. It's a good called shot.
I got a text that says, I've been telling y'all that the Titans are taking Jackson Smith and Jigba. It's like, well, that's okay. More than one people can have it.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Yeah, this is not – yeah, I mean, he's logical.
Mark from Ashland City says, called shots. Edmonton will win the cup. The Titans will trade up for Anthony Richardson. Memphis wins the NBA title.
This
is
from
Mark from Ashland City on the text line.
Whoop that trick.
That would be. There you go. That would be fun.
What a – interesting time around here would be if the Titans trade up for Anthony Richardson, and then a few weeks later, Memphis wins the NBA title. What a time in this state.
Indeed. It'd be a parade inside my city.
Yes, yes, it would. I do want, and we'll get into the Grizzlies-Lakers game coming up in Weekend Winners, but like I do wonder, like it's the Grizzlies versus LeBron, so there's some natural intrigue there in the playoffs. Like at what point is Nashville just bought in to the Grizzlies' run? Is it conference final? Do they have to make it all the way to the NBA final?
I think they have to make it to the NBA.
I think had they beaten the Warriors last year, I mean, I think it was already – there was some momentum. I think that would have been – you would have noticed it around here.
Could be.
So I think conference final. Certainly NBA finals.
I got a text that says Memphis is getting swept by LA. I think it's the same person who said that yesterday.
Yeah, we got a
Laker arguing losers with me about play-in games who – didn't know that play-in games don't happen when they don't have the same record. They're just actual play-in games, and the NBA is doing that now. So, yeah, take that for what it's worth.
You're really tough on this texter.
Well, I mean, look, if you're going to text in yelling at me and complaining about, well, they've got the same record, that's why they do the play-in games, be smarter. It's not much to ask, I don't think.
But you know what?
They're Laker fans,
if
though.
If he ends up being right about the Lakers sweep,
yes.
That's redemption.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Jared Stillman. We'll get his thoughts on the John Hines situation and his thoughts on the Titans leading up to the draft as well. and his victory over Joe Rexroad in Jared versus Joe earlier this week. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.